This is The Edge with Jonathan Von Tobel and Matt Eumanns on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's up and welcome in. We got an hour today, and it's just the crew, me, Matt Eumanns. No smart people joining us, but that's okay. We got enough genius between the two of us to fill for the next hour. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We have the association. We have a really big college hoop slate. National Football League to look ahead to and review as well. There's a lot going on. And college football news, because I know you have yet to bloviate about the move for one Lincoln Riley.
There's a lot to talk about. Not just Lincoln Riley, it's Brian Kelly and everything that else going on in the world of college football, which has turned into a circus of a business. We'll talk about all that stuff today. Hey, it's a South Point Sportsbook. The Bills just dropped -2.5 against the Patriots next Monday night.
Yep. Hey, look at that. Something we discussed. I figured out of the two sides, it was going to be more than likely that you would get Bills -2.5, although I didn't think it would move off of 3. But I just felt the Patriots would be the side to back, and I guess sure enough here. Remember, by the way, no altered juice, -110 if you're out in Las Vegas. Go ahead and check it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's surprising because initially there were 3.5s out there.
Yeah.
And I just figured the number would settle on 3, and I still think it will settle on 3. But if you like the Bills, get out to the South Point now or get on the app because that's as good a price as you're going to get. Bills -145, -2.5. And I guess you can make an argument that's a buy low price on the Bills at home, but there really hasn't been no home field advantage in the NFL this season.
None whatsoever. Although, last night it did play out for the Washington football team in just a thrilling contest.
Yeah.
Very well played.
I got to admit, I watched about half of the game.
You didn't miss much.
It was a tough watch. And then I went back and watched a little bit more later in the night. But there's not a lot to like about the Seahawks right now. I think it's just about over for Russ and Pete in Seattle.
Yeah, I think so. 17-15, the final score. Also, the final score, not really indicative of the game itself because the Seahawks were not very competitive in this contest. Got a late touchdown, turned away by a two-point conversion at the end. Also, recovered an onside kick, but then called back because it was an illegal formation.
And really, there wasn't enough time left maybe to get anything done. But the Seahawks really lost this game by a touchdown last night. I thought they were lucky to even get back in it at the end. So Russell Wilson, 2 TD passes, 247 yards. The numbers look good. What you saw on screen last night did not look good.
No. Getting that most of that through chunk plays, right? The broken coverages, things like that. And we have seen now the market has reacted, right, since the end of that game, where the Seahawks are now catching 3.5 at home against the San Francisco 49ers. That's really the only adjustment. This morning it was still sitting at 2.5 for the Washington football team against the Las Vegas Raiders. Haven't checked for a couple of hours, but I would assume that is still the case up on my screen right now.
Yeah, it's 2.5.
Yep, still 2.5. But that is the real adjustment here, is that Seattle is now 3.5 pretty much everywhere that you look, or 3, you know, -120 in favor of the San Francisco 49ers. Not surprising given what we know about San Francisco, how well they've been playing, and how poorly Seattle has been playing. But it is, like we talked about in the opening lines, for those who weren't with us on Sunday, think about this swing that the San Francisco 49ers have been through, where 3 weeks ago they're catching 4 at home to the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
They win that game outright. They win 2, recover 2 after that, and now all of a sudden they're 3.5-point favorites on the road yet again against Seattle.
Well, you have to respect a hot team in the NFL because not too many teams have been able to put together win streaks for more than 2 weeks, and San Francisco has managed to do it here for a few weeks. Westgate Superbook still at Niners -3, -120. It's still 3.5 seems like too much to lay on the road with the Niners. Even if you feel like the Seahawks are coming apart at the seams, I think 3.5 is a little bit too much. I was hesitant to even lay 2.5 with the Niners here. I'm probably going to pass on that game.
Yes, I would agree with that. Now, the other team, we'll save the other game, the Washington-Las Vegas game. That might be, just might be part of Do the Numbers tomorrow. Do the Numbers has a really good track record, so we will discuss at length that contest. Although, hey, part of Do the Numbers last week was talking about the Philadelphia Eagles being extremely overvalued. Now, the bigger chunk of it was about the Saints against the Bills, but we'll forget about all of that. All right, with that, you know, we have a lot left to get to in the world of football. We'll get back to it. Rundown says, though, we have a Tuesday card in the National Basketball Association tonight, Matt Eumanns, and a big
battle of New York.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the West Coast.
Well, let's talk about the best coast, the West Coast. And the best team in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors right
That's right. The Warriors now up to 3-point underdogs against the Phoenix Suns here at the South Point, it looks like, with a total of 221.5. I am involved in this game, and I can spoil it. I took 2.5 with Warriors, figured that would be the direction the market went. So Three? Take it.
Man, not too often you've been getting a bad number in the NBA.
No, I actually had a pretty good read on the market so far earlier this year, but not the case here. And I guess it should be really surprising, right? The Phoenix Suns have won 16 consecutive games. They've been playing extremely good basketball. I think there's a really strong argument to be made that if you look at their schedule, it has not been the strongest, although over the weekend they did take care of business against the Brooklyn Nets. So the biggest test that they did face up to this point, they passed. But this Golden State team, man, they're playing at another level. And in the write-up this morning, I talked about there's two real key areas in this matchup that I think work in the favor of the Golden State Warriors. First off, it's Phoenix on the defensive end of the floor. They got two key weaknesses. It's their rim defense, which is right now 19th in the NBA. The Warriors lead the league in shooting within 4 feet of the basket. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be able to get to the rim if they want to, and they'll be able to finish, and they'll be able to, I think, exploit what has been a small weakness for the Phoenix Suns. The other, Warriors, one of the top teams in terms of frequency of transition plays, or else, in other words, they like to get out and run in transition. Not entirely efficient, but they do it a lot. This is one of the worst transition defenses in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns. We've seen it now transpire for a while. So I think they'll be able to take advantage of that. And as I've talked to you before, I love this Warriors team from a defensive standpoint. They run guys off the three-point line. They won't allow you within 4 feet. They allow you to take mid-range shots, which plays right into what the Phoenix Suns want to do. I just think from a matchup perspective, I like what the Warriors bring to the table here tonight.
Okay. Actually, I think you're 30-16 in the NBA right now. Is that correct?
Yes.
I've been playing some of your NBA stuff, and I was going to play these games tonight. I actually like both your plays tonight. Stephen Curry put on a pretty good shooting exhibition after he got ticked off the other day against the Clippers. But
did he tee up the ref?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I've been really impressed. Every time I've watched the Warriors, I feel like it's a complete team. And, you know, I think at some point in the last couple of years, you kind of felt like the window had closed on this team after Kevin Durant left and Klay Thompson blew out his Achilles, and it seemed like the Warriors were not going to get it back together again. Mm-hmm. But they have it back together again, and they look damn good to me. In fact, if I had to bet one team today to win it all, I'd bet the Warriors, not the Nets.
Yeah. Oh, I think the Nets are clearly flawed at this point. This is somewhat shocking. I talked about this on the podcast with Aaron Redding last week. In the Eastern Conference, to me, the best team in the Eastern Conference is the Milwaukee Bucks. When they're fully healthy, that's the best team in the East right now. This is clear. And, like, the Nets are a good team, and actually we can tie that into the analysis here for this Knicks game, right? The Nets actually have been performing pretty well. The last 13 games, they're actually 10-3 straight up. The problem is the market keeps pricing them like they're this dominant team, right, that we expected coming into the year. And thus, while you're 10-3 straight up in your last 13 games, you're 5-7-1 against the spread because you've been laying some pretty big numbers that you probably shouldn't.
Right.
We talked about last week, the buy low spot that you caught was against Boston, where the market freaked out, made the Celtics a 1-point favorite.
That's a good call by you there, yeah.
Right, and the Nets took care of business there. And it's interesting here because you look at this number, humans, they actually opened 6.5 against the Knicks. The Knicks were actually in Atlanta over the weekend catching 7.5. So you would think that, okay, well, just from a pure number standpoint, the Nets are power rated higher than Atlanta. That would then theoretically make them probably bigger favorites against the Knicks in a spot like this at home. So we're seeing the market move toward Brooklyn. Not surprised by that. And you also get the news that the Knicks are rolling with a new starting lineup. Kemba Walker is out of the rotation, period. They are done with Kemba Walker.
Talk about a swift fall from grace, Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
He was on the back page of the New York Post. Hero comes home. What's happened here in the past month?
Well, he's not a good defender. We know that. And his numbers offensively have tanked. It's incredible. And if you look at, and it's a minuscule sample size. If I remember correctly, it's less than 100 possessions. I think it's actually less than 75 possessions. But if you just take their starting lineup and remove Kemba Walker and replace him with Alec Burks, who they're doing with this game, their net rating goes from like negative 15 to plus 13. So it's a massive difference with Burks out there. Now, I think there's a real question, because if you look at that starting lineup, you're talking about Alec Burks and R.J. Barrett as your starting backcourt. There's no real true point guard presence out there, so how does that affect things, right? If you're talking about larger sample sizes over multiple games, but they're doing this for a reason. There's clearly a big flaw with this Knicks team, but this is the new look New York Knicks coming into this matchup against the Nets. So I wanted to bet the Nets -6.5, but clearly I've been too high on them, as has the market been. So I'm just going to sit back, watch this game, wait for an in-game opportunity, see if I can get a cheaper price on Brooklyn.
Sure.
But I did make the number higher than what it's worth, for what it's worth, than this number right here.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. A lot of times, if you don't get the number you want, NBA is such a volatile game. If you have time to do it, well, I bet it. All right, so that's a big game on the West Coast tonight. 18-2 Warriors.
Yeah.
17-3 Suns. 35-5. Do the quick math. Combined record there between those teams. Aside from the Warriors, Suns, and Bucks, I got a question for you. Which team, aside from those three, has the longest winning streak in the association right now?
The Warriors, Suns, and Bucks.
Yeah.
Longest winning streak in the NBA. Ooh. I should know this off the top of my head, I feel like. The Bucks have won seven straight. I don't know. Who is it?
How about the Houston Rockets?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they won last night. Yes. How many is that in a row?
Three in a row,
right?
For the Rockets.
Yeah, that's right. They beat Oklahoma City last night. By the way, ruining the party. The Thunder were 11-2 against the spread going into that game yesterday. Boy, that was an ugly performance from
Oklahoma City,
too.
What happened last night? We bragged about OKC and the OKC coaching job. What the hell happened last night?
Well, hey, you know what? I like it when you're on the road, when you get a good chunk of the run that they have been on, right, playing them here and there and getting a little piece of it. It feels pretty good. And then, you know, it blows up in your face every once in a while. I'm not going to cover every game, but you're right. And, boy, was the performance ugly. We're talking, like, jump shots off the side of the rim, tentative offense. Like, it was crazy.
Pretty poor start.
Yes.
Pretty poor start last night for the Thunder. By the way, Chris Wood of the Rockets last night, 24 points, 21 rebounds.
He's good. He looks pretty good, man. That guy has really developed into an awesome player. All right. On the other side, we'll come back. We have a lot to get to in the world of college football. Update all of these lines for the championship games that we're going to see this coming weekend. Also get to Matt Heumann's thoughts on what happened with Lincoln Riley and, of course, the new LSU head coach.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, the VSiN holiday offer is here right now. When you sign up for a $99 midseason football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift. VSiN.com/subscribe. Do your holiday shopping at the VSiN store. Can't think of a better idea.
Neither can I. By the way, we were talking about this game. What's it called? This Warriors-Suns game. So the reason why this number has moved, because now we're up to 3.5. Late addition to the injury report when Andrew Wiggins is questionable to play. So we're up to 3.5 there with the Phoenix Suns against the Golden State Warriors. With that, let's talk a little college football. Because I brought that up because I was looking at the odds screen up at VSiN.com. Check it out, VSiN.com. We have a lot of great odds, and they're live. Everything, every time something moves, it flashes. So status quo across the board pretty much, humans, when you look at the numbers for these title games this coming weekend in college football. We are still sitting at 6.5 for Alabama. We're still sitting at 3-ish for Oregon and Utah, although 2.5 are starting to appear, and still pretty much sitting at 5.5 for Oklahoma State Baylor and that 11-point spread for Michigan. Still scattering the board as well. So pretty static, no real changes over the last couple of
years. No, I don't think you're going to see changes really until probably the weekend. One game where you have seen just a little bit of movement is the Western Kentucky-Texas-San Antonio game. Mm-hmm. And off UTSA's blowout loss to North Texas last weekend, I kind of figured Western Kentucky was going to get a lot of support here. In fact, the Hilltoppers have not lost since that shootout. Loss against Texas San Antonio early in the season. I think seven straight wins. Bailey Zappi's put up huge numbers. How about him for the Heisman? Bailey Zappi, Western Kentucky quarterback.
Not a good enough name.
Not going to happen.
Not a good enough name. His name was Trevor Johnson, maybe.
DraftKings now at Western Kentucky -2. Circa, Westgate, South Point, 1.5. And this is a game that opened either pick or Western Kentucky -1. You really have not seen, like you said, any movement on the odds board for the college games, and I don't think you really will until maybe Friday or Saturday. And you might start to see some action show up on the favorites, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's when Georgia-Alabama, it's an afternoon kickoff. You're probably going to see seven start to pop up at some spots, I think, on Saturday morning. Johnny Avello of DraftKings, this is interesting. He was on with us yesterday. He said, this game is going to 7. You recall when he said that, right?
Yep.
Well, DraftKings is the first book in the market to drop to 6. Everybody else painted across the screen at 6.5. DraftKings has dropped to 6. So I'm not sure what's going on there with the Georgia-Bama game. But I know plenty of people, sharp college football guys, who think Bama's just a fraud. And, you know, people are going to be betting on Nick Saban and the reputation here. And that Bama can't move the football against this Georgia defense. And I understand that opinion, too, because Bama didn't really move the ball against a bad Auburn team last week.
Right.
Until late in the game. And it was in jeopardy of getting shut out in that game. And it was shut out until the fourth quarter. The one that's, I think, the most interesting to me is Iowa-Michigan. And even though the Hawkeyes don't do anything that you would consider sexy.
Good? On offense? Is that where you're going here?
They can run the ball. They have pedestrian quarterback. I think Mike Palm's going to start at quarterback for Iowa this week. But doesn't matter. You can put almost anybody at quarterback for the Hawkeyes. They're going to run the ball. You're going to play opportunistic defense. The one thing about this game, or two things about this game. One is Michigan pummeled Ohio State at the line of scrimmage last week. Ran the ball right over the Buckeyes. And really, Michigan's defensive line dominated Ohio State's offensive line. That's not going to happen with Iowa.
Right.
You don't whip Iowa in the trenches, so it's going to be a better matchup from the Hawkeyes from that perspective.
Well, also, I was going to say, like with Iowa, right, the way they operate their offense, you're just not going to get many opportunities to rush the passer, period.
Right,
right. Like they're not going to sit back and drop back
right.
like Ohio State.
Hutchinson's not going to have three sacks, you would think, unless Michigan jumps out to a 14-0 lead, then the Hawkeyes are in big trouble. Oh, well, if you bet Iowa plus 11, you might as well just trash your ticket. But the other thing about this is I still think, even though it's a conference championship game with a playoff spot on the line and that shouldn't be a letdown spot, it's got to be some sort of an emotional hangover for Michigan. That was a game not only circled on the calendar, JVT, that was a game they targeted for a few years because they've been embarrassed. That was the biggest win of Jim Harbaugh's college coaching career.
Absolutely.
All the emotion that went into that, there's no way Michigan can get up and play at that level 2 weeks in a row. You would think so. Anyway, so it's tough for me to take the Hawkeyes here, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to take 11 if that's the best number we can get. And right now it's 10.5 or 11. I don't know if it's going to – maybe it gets to 11.5, but right, you're kind of sitting in that in that gray area right now where it's not going to get to 13. The best number you could probably do is 11.5 if you wait for the weekend.
Yeah, I am. I think I'll hold the nose and take the points as well. Because here's the thing, too. The thing that just that gives you pause is that offense. 100. If you look at EPA per play, 123rd in the country, Iowa, and you're taking on a really good defense in Michigan, and you're just hoping that the Iowa team, which by the way themselves defensively are one of the best in the country right now. I think they have they're seventh in EPA per play defensively. Like they, and their defense has done it. Their defense is the reason why. Did they reach two or three?
Number two.
Iowa
got to number two.
There's the reason why. They were forcing turnovers. Mm-hmm. They're brilliant in terms of doing that. DBs are the right position. Front seven's great. And so that's why I would feel comfortable in a game like this in a letdown spot in a rock'em sock'em Big Ten matchup, right, where there's a total of 44 taking 11 and thinking that a defense like that is going to keep you in it. But like you said, if it's 14-0 first quarter, goodbye.
Yeah, Michigan gets out to a hot start. But, you know, that's a big if. I still think it's going to be hard for Michigan to come out and play with the same type of emotion 2 weeks in a row. I'm intrigued by the Mountain West title game. We'll talk about that one later. Also, a game that's at the bottom of the board we can talk about a little bit, 325-326 USC-Cal.
Oh, boy.
This was Cal minus 2.5 on Sunday night. Now it's Cal minus 4. I'm not really sure what the move is for here. Maybe USC's got a couple guys who are going to be out, but I've followed USC news this week and haven't seen it. Jackson Dart, the freshman quarterback, played extremely well against BYU last weekend. I wonder about, I was talking with somebody the other night. I said, when Lincoln Riley got hired, I said, okay, so Lincoln Riley obviously has a track record of producing Heisman candidates or Heisman winners.
Right.
Jackson Dart at USC, the freshman, has got big-time potential. He really does. I don't know how much you've had a chance to see him play. But he was a Gatorade Player of the Year out of Utah. He's a big-time prospect. And the more I watch him, he's got mobility. He's got a good arm accuracy. He's a strong leader. I think this guy's got Heisman-type potential. But Lincoln Riley is going to bring his own quarterback to USC.
Malachi
Nelson.
Yep, Nelson out of Los Alamitos.
And if Nelson's the only, he might not be the only guy Lincoln Riley brings in. So what's Jackson Dart going to do Obviously, you can't stay there and compete with Lincoln Riley's guy because Riley's going to go with his guy.
Yep.
That's just the way it is. When a new guy comes in and takes over, he wants to bring in his people. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there. It's, I think, a lot of uncertainty for USC headed into that Cal game. That's, by the way, there's going to be some betting action on that game Saturday night. That's 8 p.m. Pacific. That's the last college game on the board.
Get it back, game. Let's go.
USC-Cal, both teams are 4-7, playing for nothing, but a rescheduled game late Saturday night. And right now the sharp money's on Cal.
By the way, I should clarify, too, Malachi Nelson is actually class of 2023, so that would be not for next season.
I thought he was for next season.
Well, according to this article, he is in the class of 2023, so... ESPN Junior.
Okay. Yep. Well,
maybe Jackson Dart gets an option.
Lincoln Riley's probably going to bring
Spencer Rattler.
I'm not sure it's going to be Spencer Rattler. Do you think he'd take Caleb Williams to USC?
I mean, the team looked much better. Right,
well, first of all, if you're the quarterback, let's say you're Caleb Williams and you want to play in the NFL, are you going to stay at Oklahoma having no idea who the next coach is going to be? And if it's Brent Venables, it's going to be a defensive coach, so your development might be stunted by the fact a new staff's coming in. You would want to follow Lincoln Riley,
of course,
to L.A.
It maximizes your potential.
Right.
In a system that you're comfortable with, you'll look the best in it, all of those things. Absolutely.
I think Spencer Rattler is going to transfer somewhere else. He's going to have – I mean, there's so many teams desperate for a quarterback. That guy's going to be answering phone calls nonstop. No matter what you think of him, he still would be a great get for a lot of programs out there.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. But I am fascinated to see what this game is played like, too. An absolutely meaningless contest late night while all these title games are getting played in the Pac-12. It's going to be brilliant.
Can we throw up the graphic on the USC athletic director? Mike Bone yesterday made a comment at the news conference. JBT, does this reek of self-importance or what? Here's a quote. After hiring Lincoln Riley, USC AD Mike Bone. Quote, "It was never our goal to change the landscape of college football with one of the biggest moves in the history of the game. But we did exactly that."
It's ridiculous.
Is that an overstatement?
It might be. Just a little bit.
By the way, we'll have to take a look, too, at the rumored terms of Lincoln Riley's contract, which is completely absurd, if true.
I think Nick Saban doesn't get a raise every time the market is reset, so Saban's loving it. All right, we'll come back. We have a lot left to get to. We're going to stick around to college. College hoops, it's a really good card tonight, including Duke back in action against Ohio State.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This segment of The Edge is brought to you by Zen Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray. No more spit cups. No batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zen Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like Spearmint, Wintergreen, Citrus, and more. And for your convenience, each variety comes in two strengths. You can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zen, America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, so it's never been easier to find your Zen. Head on over to zen.com/find to locate a store near you. That's zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. How about Duke? Back in action. Our graphic says number 5 Duke. It is number 1 Duke. The Blue Devils atop the AP poll this week.
Maybe this is somebody's personal. I think the VSiN graphics go by Greg Hoops Peterson power ratings. So.
Yeah, I don't think we should do that.
I'm just kidding.
By the way, Greg Hoops Peterson made Ohio State a 1.5-point favorite in this game.
So did KenPom.
Yeah?
Yeah. 1-point projected win, 74-74.
Is KenPom now copying off Greg Peterson?
It's more than likely.
Okay.
Plausible. It's plausible. I will say, can I just really quickly, because, look, it's probably a really hard job to be a bookmaker.
Uh-huh.
The college basketball portion must be relatively simple, though. It is incredible how much these openers reflect Ken Pomeroy's numbers.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is. If you think about, we've been talking about this now for 4 or 5 years. That if you want to know what a number is going to open in college hoops, go to KenPom.com, fan match,
yep,
and click on the day, and basically whatever he says is what the books are going to open.
One of the teams had
plus or minus a half point or a point or whatever.
Shade at one side, and
depending on the situational spot and some things like that. But last week, he had Gonzaga 8 over Duke.
8.5, 9.5.
Let the number open. 8, went bet up to 8.5, bet all the way up to 9.5 before the game. I was at the Golden Nugget Sportsbook Friday night putting in contest plays. And I look at the board and I see Gonzaga minus 9.5. And I had already bet Duke early in the day. I said, I got to bet this again. That's 9.5 is ridiculous. So I'm walking up to the window and there's a lady. She runs up. She goes, "Give me Gonzaga." I was like, okay, if I lose a bet with this lady on the other side, I'm going to be ticked off.
Did you say something wrong? You're an idiot.
No, I didn't. I didn't say a word. I just said, give me Duke plus 9.5.
It'll be all right.
Anyway.
So now you get Duke against Ohio State, part of this Big Ten ACC challenge.
Right.
So we're starting to see some spots open this 3.5. Some 2.5s are starting to appear on the screen here in favor. And that's the other thing about this, too, because you talk about if you want to know what a line's going to be, just look up Ken Palm. A lot of the times as well, if you want to know where a number is going to head, just go to Ken.
Yeah, yeah.
And generally, the market is going to head in that direction. And so you're starting to see it head in that direction. Where Ohio State, again, by Ken Palm's metrics, projected to win this by 1 point. But Duke, given what they did against Gonzaga, you're going to shade them a little bit higher, even on the road. And I got to tell you that I think they deserve it. This is a legitimately good team. Like, when you look at the personnel that Coach K has, they have good shooters. They have guys who can finish in transition, guys who can attack off the bounce. They, I think, deserve to be power rated a little bit high, and I think there's an argument to be made that maybe Ken Pomp's projections were a little too low on the Dukies, given what we saw transpire.
There's no question about it,
right?
There's no question about it, and I think Ken Pomeroy would admit that too. That his early season numbers are going to be nowhere as strong as his mid season, late season numbers. You're working off a lot of data from last season in the first month, and a lot of people had Duke underrated. I had Duke underrated going into the season. I had Duke number 8. Kenny White told me he had Duke number 22 the day before the season. Yeah. I thought 8 was about right. I watched Duke play one game and say, okay, I bumped Duke up to number 3 after watching Duke play Kentucky. Had better athletes and just more mature physically than I expected. Keels was a big part of it. Trevor Keels, when I watched him play, I didn't realize he was that good. Ended up bumping Duke up to number 3. I've got Duke number 1 right now, too. I've got Duke 1, Purdue 2, and Gonzaga 3. That's the same as the AP poll. The thing that Purdue's got, and Purdue's in action tonight against Florida State, so it's two big men, 6'10", 7'4". Not a lot of teams can match up with that. But, hey, Duke's got inside strength.
Yep.
E.J. Liddell for Ohio State is going to have to do a lot to carry that offense tonight. The Buckeyes are not at full strength in this game. I actually made Duke a 1-point favorite here, and I think the situational spot's a negative. Duke obviously played the big game in New York against Kentucky, come out to Vegas, a lot of hype around the Gonzaga game. Blue Devils played great that night, start to finish, knock off the Zags. Now they're number 1. Now you got to travel to Columbus for this Big Ten challenge game. And the atmosphere is going to be electric tonight in Columbus. There's no doubt about it. I don't have this Ohio State team rated that highly. The situational spot's what scares me for Duke. Because last night, did you watch Gonzaga?
Yeah, Zags quite the scare.
Yeah. So after you come off a game where you play at that high a level, it's kind of hard to you do crash. Yeah. And that's what the Zags did. They had no zip last night. Tarleton State is a terrible team. I think went into last night's game 1-5. It was a 1-point game at halftime.
Yep.
Gonzaga won 64-55 as a 32-point favorite. Shot 4-for-19 from 3 and missed 10 free throws. So you saw how poorly the Zags played after the Duke game. You wonder if Duke's not going to be that sharp tonight.
Do you think from a situational standpoint it helps that it's an opponent of this caliber as opposed to a Tarleton State? Right, like I would think the letdown's even worse when you're like, it's this team. Like, you know what I mean?
The Tarleton State Texans.
Right.
I think it does help. And the atmosphere tonight's going to be so – well, Duke's going to play well tonight.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be the type of game that goes to the wire. I could not lay 3 if I were going to – if I like Duke in the game. There's a money line out there at about minus 130. That's at minus 2.5 or 3. I think minus 130 would be the way. I kind of feel like this Duke-Ohio State game is going to finish similarly to last night's Iowa-Virginia game.
Yes.
Where it looked like Virginia came all the way back from 20 down, was going to win the game, and then missed two shots at the end and lost by one. That, by the way, that line opened Virginia plus one, closed Virginia minus two, and Iowa won by one. Credit to Fran McCaffrey. His guys were hot shooters in the first half last night and held on to win that game. That was a big win for the Hawkeyes on the road. But this, I like this ACC Big Ten challenge every year. You don't make too much out of the games. First of all, why is Duke not matched up against Michigan or Purdue?
Right. I would agree with that.
I don't understand what the matchmakers were doing when they set these, when they set the schedule for the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You knew in the offseason that the best team in the Big Ten was either Michigan or Purdue.
Right.
And you knew Duke was going to be the best team in the ACC. Why is Florida State playing Purdue and Michigan playing, some, I think, North Carolina?
Yeah. Can't allow the Dukies to slip up and Coach Case.
Maybe Coach Case said, hey, we don't want to play one of those teams. We want to play the third best team. Who knows? Maybe he set the schedule.
Really quickly, the key matchup to watch, at least for me, when you look at this, Ohio State, right now, one of the things that they have had issues with on defense and keeping opponents off of the glass, opponent offensive rebound area at 33.6%, or essentially you're allowing opponents to grab a third of their misses. And Duke is actually a relatively solid offensive rebounding team. Offensive rebounding rate of 31% for the early part of the year. So
I like Duke around the basket. I think they got pretty good rim defense, pretty good scoring ability in the paint. I don't see many weaknesses with this Duke team. I don't think the guards are great, but they're good enough. So, like I said, if I played that, I would still play Duke at a small money line price tonight. I think Duke maybe finds a way to win that game. Ohio State's not at full strength, like I mentioned, and I'm just not sure how good the Buckeyes are. But it's going to be a great atmosphere for that game tonight. Would not be a big play for me either way.
What do you do with Indiana, Syracuse, the Fighting Boeheims? Literally, like multiple Boeheims.
I've already bet it. I mentioned this morning. You got three Boeheims tonight. Jim,
Coach, and two
Buddy, and Jimmy. You got three Boeheims. I took Syracuse plus three. And Buddy Boeheim's off to a poor start. He's actually scoring, but he's attracting a lot of attention from defenses. That's why his three-point shooting percentage is down, I think 31% right now. And that's why Buddy's shooting from three. But really, with Buddy Boeheim and Joey Girard, you got two of the best three-point shooters in the country in the in that same backcourt. Syracuse doesn't have a lot on the front line. Jesse Edwards is a 6'11 forward. He's a pretty good shot blocker and rim defender. And that's important. You got to have a guy like that when you got Trace Jackson Davis of Indiana, who's going to be attacking the rim on the other side. My question with Indiana is how strong are the Hoosiers? They played six home games. I would say four of those against really weak opposition.
Yep.
This is going to be their first trip on the road tonight. And Trace Jackson Davis obviously should be the focus of the Syracuse defense here. If you don't let him go off, you got a pretty good chance to win the game. I think Syracuse is going to knock down some shots tonight. And I'm going to look for Buddy Boeheim and Joey Girard to carry the Orange to a win. I made this pick 'em. And when I make a number like this, pick them, and I'll get Syracuse plus three as a home dog, I'll take that almost every time.
Yeah, surprising thing for Syracuse up to this point, and you're going to see this when you play as much zone as they do, but opponents have been shooting really well against them from three.
Well, Colgate scored 100 points against them. But, yeah, the defense has not been very good early in the season, but that's not atypical of a Jim Boeheim team. A lot of times his teams don't look that good in November defensively and get better. So.
Yep.
I don't know. That's a pretty good game tonight. And I also was thinking about playing Florida State plus 11.5.
12 is up there now.
Is there 12?
Yep.
Who's got it?
12 on my screen over at the South Point. Pretty far away, though, so can you make the track?
Right. I think I can make it before tip-off. Florida State plus 12 at Purdue tonight. I think that's too many. I made the number 9. What Greg Hoops Peterson and Ken Palm make the number on Florida State Purdue? It's probably right around 10 or 11. Right?
I'm willing to bet that that is the case. I can pull this up really quick.
Purdue now up to number 2. And I think Florida State's got enough athletes to hang in this game.
19.
It's going to be a defensive, more of a defensive type of game than Purdue's.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome in. Last couple of minutes here on The Edge. If you missed it on any part of this show, your favorite show, you can go to vsin.com/podcast. Check that out for every single one of the programs that is available on the network. So, a lot to get to. No read. So let's get through the best bets really quickly, recaps and best bets to add, and then we will get to a little bit in college football and wrap up anything we left off the board in college hoops. Screen says NFL. So let's go to the NFL really quickly. Nothing to add quite yet. Patriots +3 versus the Bills. Record on the season 24-18. So hopefully the Patriots will stay within that number. Now down to 2.5 in one or two spots.
Yeah, one and covered 6 in a row. Hopefully it's 7. Put me down for the same play. I'm going to go ahead and take the Patriots. I was waiting to see if the 3.5 would show up. It's not going to apparently show up. So I better take the 3 before too many 2.5. So I think you have plenty of opportunities to take 3 between now and Monday night. But I might as well just go ahead and take that 3 now.
Yep. So we'll see. I'm also it'll be part of do the numbers tomorrow, but there is a couple of teams.
Are you going to pick on the Buffalo Bills again?
What do you mean? No. I'm not. Okay. I am going to pick on a team that I'll give this hint. A team out there that's won 4 straight and covered 4 straight and might not be performing as well as you think they have been. Put
okay.
it that way.
Okay.
With that, NBA last night, Thunder, don't get there. Didn't really sniff it at all, actually. 2.5-point underdog lose to the Rockets, and we knew it the whole way. The Indiana Pacers catching 3 points. The state of Indiana, poetic justice. They screw me, the Indianapolis Colts, on Sunday out of a large sum of money. At least they paid me back, Indiana did, the Hoosier State, with a backdoor cover against the Timberwolves. Put lost, back bucket.
With, lost by what?
One. Or two, lost, no, excuse me, 2. They were down 4.
Lost by 2 yep. with a layup with what, 0.2 seconds left?
Nothing left, actually, on the clock.
Yeah, well, right, I think when it left his hand, I'm going to say.
Oh, yes, yeah. So a ridiculous cover, but like I said, never a doubt. Anyway, for Tuesday's play, so this one moved
two
really
dogs.
Quickly.
Playing yeah. a lot of dogs. There's 4 straight dogs here.
Yes, it is. Actually, it might be. I have to go
might
back
be
to.
More.
I think, yeah, if you go back to Friday, I think 2 out of the 3 were underdogs. But, yeah, right. So regardless, so today, look, so the Grizzlies, this number has moved quite a bit. I wrote about this morning. Again, these are up really early when these are all available. So, but in the article I put, Kasurka actually peaked at 6 this morning in favor of the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. But this is a team that doesn't have OG Anunoby, that has Gary Trent Jr. listed as questionable, that is one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA, has not gotten any better, and yet they were as high as 6. And the way I put it was, this is an extremely flawed team to be laying this number. And I get it. John Morant's hurt, and he's not going to play here today, and the Grizzlies have their own defensive issues. But these are two teams that are very close to one another as currently constructed. Not so much 6-point difference at home. So the Grizzlies +5.5 was the play this morning. Grab that over at MGM2, and this is now down to 3.5. Obviously, agree with the market move there. And the Warriors are 2.5. Bad number here right now because you can grab 3.5. Now, this is because of a questionable designation for one Andrew Wiggins. So I think he is going to play. There were no indications that he was going to miss this contest. Sounds like maybe some soreness in the back that popped up today. So we'll see if he's going to miss. But I would assume he's going to be out there once he's officially listed as available. This to head back down. But all the analysis remains the same. This is a good defensive team. I think they match up well. So Warriors
right.
+2.5.
Good deal. College hoops last night. Virginia -1, loser. Not an ideal situation to fall behind by 20 points in the first half. Virginia battled back, took the lead late, and then missed a couple shots at the end to win the game. Lose by 1 to Iowa tonight. We're going back to the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I'm taking an ACC home dog with Syracuse +3 against Indiana. We've already talked about that game, so we can move on. My only NFL play on the record at this point is going to be Patriots +3. And I'm still looking at several college football plays, but most likely going to be on Alabama,
yep.
Iowa,
yep.
and maybe Utah State.
Yeah, those two for sure for me. So, yeah, that'll be the case. Just waiting to see what the market does. Anyway, with that, let's get to some of the news around this whole college football madness. So a lot of dominoes fall, right, from one guy moving to another spot, and then you get a whole bunch of mess happening, right, in the wake of that.
You know, and all this, it's going to have a ripple effect on yep. several of the bowl games we're going to handicap next month, too, what's going to happen with right. a lot of these coaching situations. And also, you know, you're just talking about Notre Dame still being in position to possibly
right?
get a college football playoff spot, and Brian Kelly ditches town. Anyway, let's get to this.
Ridiculous.
Adam Schefter tweet, and go back to this on Sunday in the middle of the NFL schedule. Schefter tweets, quote, Oklahoma has targeted Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury as one of the potential replacements for Lincoln Riley. League sources tell ESPN.
Yep.
Kingsbury has 1 year remaining on his contract after the season. So if you're not familiar with how this works, First of all, it's embarrassing, I think, for Adam Schefter and ESPN for this tweet to even go out. What happens a lot of times in the media, agents are a great source, can be a great source of information to a reporter.
And Schefter's been caught with his hand in the cookie jar many times.
Oh, yeah.
Regurgitating agent talk.
What he did here was Cliff Kingsbury's agent's trying to get a new contract for Cliff.
Yep.
He's trying to get it out of the Cardinals. So he floats this to Adam Schefter, who you would think is smart enough to know it's BS. But he puts it out there anyway and reports it because he's trying to do Cliff Kingsbury's agent a favor, who in turn, his agent is going to give stories to Adam Schefter. Like, and that's how this media nonsense works. So don't buy into this stuff about Kingsbury considering Oklahoma. This is Adam Schefter doing a favor for an agent so he can get a story tip or story tips in the future in return.
Right. And Kingsbury, too, as you see it in that tweet, not only does he have 1 year remaining, according to some reports, he is the lowest paid head coach in the National Football League.
He wants a new contract. He deserves one.
Yep.
Okay.
If he does.
So, thanks to Adam Schefter for trying to help him get it.
Having said that, I think he's really considering the Notre Dame job. I think he's legitimately considering a step down. Also, returning to the conference in which he got which he got fired from.
I thought he was thinking about Virginia Tech until they hired the Penn State defensive coordinator.
Yeah. It was out there.
He was thinking about going to LSU until Brian Kelly ditched Notre Dame to go to Baton Rouge. That was one that stunned me last night.
Well, mainly because of what you said. There's still a chance that after the weekend, Notre Dame is a college football playoff team.
You just don't ditch your team when you got a chance to reach the college football playoff. Here's Brian Kelly. Here's a quote from him after Saturday night's victory over Stanford. "We've got one of the best four teams, in my mind, in the country, without question, and we're ready to prove it." And then less than 48 hours later, he's out the door to LSU.
Sending text messages. "Hey, guys, we'll meet in the morning, but I'm out of here."
Jeez. How bad is this? How bad does this look? Now, Brian Kelly, 60 years old. LSU's it's a great job, great money, 10 years, at least $95 million. It's probably going to be worth more. But it seems like he'll run a good program. Ed Orgeron was running a very loose ship, and there were some embarrassing things happening down there. But still, Kelly's going to run a good program.
He'll get a baseline every year of at least 8 wins, right?
He's going to get better recruits, doesn't have any academic restrictions or fewer academic restrictions than you have at Notre Dame. So he'll recruit well. LSU's going to be – it just seems like the SEC and Baton Rouge is kind of an odd fit for Brian Kelly. And the timing makes this look really bad. And a lot of things have gone on here in college football in the past week kind of rub you the wrong way, right? It seems like – the NCAA will penalize these players and consider them as amateurs, but you got coaches signing $100 million contracts. Now, something's terribly wrong with college athletics, and things are spinning in the wrong direction. When you have a dead-flat mediocre coach like James Franklin signing a 10-year deal worth $100 million.
Unproven commodity, Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker signing for $95 million. What the hell is going on? Can we look at the absurd contract details for Lincoln Riley at USC? Now, these have been reported. They have not been confirmed, right?
Yes. Okay. From Robert Hefner V, and I actually – so he's a Sooners insider. I doubt this to a certain extent, but we'll see. But allegedly –
well, you kind of hope this is not true.
Right. Allegedly, it's $110 million. USC is also allegedly buying both his homes in Norman for $500,000 over asking, buying a $6 million home in L.A. for him, and then unlimited use of the private jet 24/7 for his family. I don't know if this is true or not. But if this is...
it's absurd.
It's absurd and
sick.
No wonder he left Norman.
You could easily see why he left Oklahoma for USC if that's true. $110 million deal. You get a $1 million bonus by selling your houses. USC is going to overpay. They're going to buy you a $6 million home in L.A., and a private jet 24/7?
By the way.
What is happening here?
All of these ridiculous contracts for all of these guys. Kind of don't want to hear about the transfer portal anymore, huh? the kids go play where they want.
It's a joke.
It's ridiculous.
And that's why when you hear college coaches complaining about transfers, shut up, man. These college coaches are getting rich off these games.
Yep.
And I love college football. It's a great game. But it's kind of sick what's happening with these coaching contracts.
Absolutely. Hell, in our own backyard, the guy's coaching UNLV has a record in terms of a contract.
Oh, jeez. And he's 2-16, something like that?
Highest paid football coach in the program's history. Yeah, this is nuts. Oh. So We'll see what happens after this, too, as we move forward with a lot of these programs and these holes open up. And Urban Meyer, by the way, is, let it be known, not interested.
Urban Meyer's dying for one of these big-time jobs. He's stuck in Jacksonville where they don't really want him, and he can't get out. So he made it. I think he made a bad move. He came back a year or two soon.
Oh, yeah. You don't think if he was sitting on the sidelines now, he'd be looking at his shots for any one of these gigs? It'd be great for him. All right, we're all done here. VSiN.com, where you want to go. Check out everything we have to offer. Remember that midseason football special, too, only $99, everything we have to offer at the end of the football season. I hope that's still active. Mike and Desert coming up next.